Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the booby-trapped Jolly Roger studio. This is the Q Filmcast, and whether you're with us online, worldwide, or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, as always, thank you for tuning in. If you don't yet know, and my God, how is that possible? We are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Roger's studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought of it. That and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. Absolutely.
Yep.
Each and every time.
Every time.
Never fails.
Nope. And this week is no exception at all. And let's get into this. Special episode, guys.
Mm-hmm. Special episode.
Yeah, listeners. Check this out. This week, we are turning the cue over to our How Is This Movie Appreciation episode.
There you go. Yeah, that's the way to say it.
Yeah, just kind of off the cuff there. That's the way it rolled out. Kind of rolled out like a big red carpet.
We'll take it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about Dana Buckler.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Are you a fan?
I am a fan. How is this movie podcast?
It's a good podcast.
It is a good podcast.
It's just one of those that's kind of like a standard for us, I think. I respect it an awful lot, and I certainly respect him. Right. Love the show. So, yeah, we decided, why don't we have a guest come into the Q Filmcast, cue up a film for us, someone who we kind of respect.
Sure.
Kind of respect.
No, we definitely respect. Dana Buckler, How Is This Movie Podcast. You can follow him at Twitter, obviously, at How Is This Movie. Put this on pause. Go do it. Come back. Everything you want to know about that particular show is there. How Is This Movie? You can also find it online any way you want, kind of like this show here. So we handed it over to him, and let's talk about the film that we're going to review and talk about tonight. Here you go. The 2011 Mumblegore film.
Mumblegore.
Is that 2011?
Real? 2011. Isn't it? Yeah, 2011.
Well, it was made in 2011. Yeah, it didn't get released till 2013.
Max, according to that scale, movies don't exist until you watch them.
No, I'm not kidding. It didn't get released till 2013. It rode around the festival circuit for like 2 years and couldn't find anybody to distribute the movie.
I thought you were trying to be like pretentious and stuff. Like you know, it doesn't exist till I say it exists.
I don't have to try to be
pretentious. No, we did a poll. He won.
Yeah, that's right. Let's talk about the film. The film, on behalf of Dana Buckler from How Is This Movie, we're talking about Your Next. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Home Invasion. We're talking a little bit of a horror film here.
Yeah.
Scare the pants off of you. From director Adam Weingard. As previously stated, the movies always inspire a top three list that we get to at the end of the film. This is no different.
Mm-mm.
Check this out. I like this. Top three kick-ass chicks.
Yep.
Did I say it right?
You did.
Couldn't have said it any better.
I like saying it too, kick-ass chicks.
Kick-ass chicks.
Do we need to expand on that?
No.
Self-explanatory.
I think it's chicks that kick ass.
Nicely done. See? So if you've seen this, you may want to keep listening, see if you agree or disagree with our take. Or if not, so what?
Right.
We don't care. I sound like Bobby Brady right there. Peter Brady.
Right.
Just keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself.
Yeah.
Either way, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah.
I like those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't lose. No. I'd still find a way to lose.
There you go.
Let's get into some introductions here. I am Michael. As always. And to my left, we're talking about James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Had a good week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A little snowy, icy kind of week.
It's crazy. It's crazy snowy, icy week.
Woo.
How was your snowy, icy week?
If you're asking me how my week went, Savage, let me tell you, I had a great week.
All right.
Let me tell you why.
Sure.
Well, first of all, no one parade my brain with a blender.
That's good.
Didn't happen. I wasn't repeatedly stabbed with a bunch of screwdrivers.
That's good, too.
But I'll tell you what, Savage, I had the greatest week ever, because at no time was I murdered while wearing a truly ridiculous scarf.
Mm. Well, there you go.
So, and you know anytime you say those three things in synchronicity.
In synchronicity, yeah. If next week we should actually say them in synchronicity.
We should.
All say them at the exact same time.
I may need a little bit of a lesson on why I shouldn't phrase it like that.
Right.
To your left, Savage, let's just do it. Let's wheel them out.
Speaking of
let's
scarves.
Wheel those old bones on out here and talk about them one more time.
Right.
Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear.
Hi, guys.
Hey. And you are the man this time of year, too, in this basin, freezing rain and
We all appreciate the patron saint of outerwear.
Oh, we all turn to you for advice.
That's
these
right.
Difficult times.
Literally, none of you called me for advice.
I know.
No. Yeah, right.
You were on vacation.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Max Gumbo Johnson,
what's
to your left.
Hey. How's it going?
You know, I had a great week, Max, and I think you probably had the same kind of week. No blender, no screwdriver, no ridiculous scarf.
Nope.
Did just fine.
Nobody put a garrote wire outside of my front door.
No, that's right.
Right.
That was nice.
I tried. I just couldn't get to your house.
You can't reach that high.
Yeah. It's got to be up at my neck.
Adam, he would have been scalped.
Right.
It's not a bad week for a ridiculous scarf, though. I just don't want to be murdered in one.
Oh, it's a great week for a ridiculous scarf. I wish I had one on right now.
And guess what, producer? You're next. We're going to talk about you right now. Greatest producer in the history of this Q Filmcast, Adam the Bomb Rogers. So let's get on with the show.
Yeah.
Leave it right there. Let's get going on this one. Once again, you're next, 2011. Top three kick-ass chicks, and let's talk a little bit about the film. Let's do this. This movie was written by Simon Barrett. Enough of that. Directed by... I couldn't find anything else on that.
Yeah, that's fine.
Directed by Adam Weingard. You guys know him. I know you did. I know you mm-hmm. do. What do you think he's famous for? But what do you think he's...
No clue.
He's tethered to, I guess you would say.
Horror movie.
VHS.
VHS.
The
he
Guest.
Did The Guest, which was awesome.
He did the letter Q in the ABCs of Death.
The letter Q? We should watch that.
Well, it's Q is for quack. What's that mean?
Oh, that was the one with the duck.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Was a Howard the Duck kind of thing?
No. Better than Howard the Duck, but not much better.
But you do remember Q is for quack.
I remember,
okay.
Yeah. I do remember it.
So, yeah, he has a little bit of a history vein to him. Horror vein to him.
All right.
He's done some work like that, so this is probably in his wheelhouse. You're next. But as of this point right here, this is what he's known for, this film right here, which stars Sharni Vinson, Nicholas Tucci.
Tucci.
It's not the Tooch, though.
Ain't the big Tooch.
The Tooch.
The Toochinator.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's... you know I'm going to look into that.
Yeah.
Is this the son of the Tooch? Is this the cousin of the Tooch?
I know a guy that can do that right now.
Yeah. Right? He could probably produce that.
I'm looking it up.
He's not, though. I looked.
No, he's not.
Stars Wendy Glenn, A.J. Bowen, Joe Swanberg, Barbara Crampton.
Woohoo!
Barbara Crampton.
From Reanimator, Max.
I love Barbara Crampton.
Oh, guess what? We have two actresses in this movie that we've discussed prior because Amy Simons. From Upstream Color. That's her.
Yeah. Oh,
it's the Upstream Color girl. Ty West.
Which one was she?
We don't know. I can't.
I guess it's a sister.
It doesn't.
It's a sister. That's who it was.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your cast right there. Ty West, too.
Ty West is awesome.
VHS. And once again, selected by Dana from How Is This Movie? So let's get into the meat on this one, right? Let's talk about ratings. Max, you know what happens here, don't you?
We don't use thumbs up or thumbs down.
No.
That is flicked.
Well, flicked.
You're spot on. I think you're jumping the gun a bit. Because we critique the critics.
Oh, I thought you wanted to talk about the other thing.
Bah, you're
right. Rotten Tomatoes thing.
Oh, well, that's what we're going to do. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
Ratings.
Okay.
We're going to IMDb on this one. Savage.
Yes.
IMDb, something point something. What do you think they gave the film You're Next 2011?
7.2.
6.5.
Overbid.
Boop, boop, doop, beep.
At least I got the point something right.
That wasn't even a drop. That was just like actual from my lips.
Yeah.
Hoodie.
Hey.
Here we go. You ready? We're talking about Rotten Tomatoes.
Go.
We're talking about Your Next 2011. What do you think the critics gave this film? Something percentage.
A 50.
I love it. Something that made me laugh so much.
Because he's serious.
I know. Spoiler alert. 75%.
Oh, okay. Well.
Max Gumbo Johnson, what do you think the users on Rotten Tomatoes gave Your Next?
80%.
59%.
Ooh.
Those people are dummies.
Not a Coriolanus swing.
No, not a Coriolanus. I think we had something beat the Coriolanus swing.
I think we did. Something came close.
Does that mean we can't call it the Coriolanus swing anymore?
I like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Coriolis effect.
We need to look into that. I think it might be the Child of God swing. Something dropped.
Right.
I'll look into it.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the film. You're Next. Home invasion, mumble gore film. And here's what you got. Let's do it. You're Next 2011 goes a bit like this. The Davisons. Mm. You know, before they even said their name, they looked like the Davisons, didn't they?
The son of David.
They didn't look like the Jacksons.
Right.
The Davisons, a seemingly upper-class and somewhat estranged family, are gathering for a family reunion at one of their father's fixer-upper estate homes.
Yeah, it looked like a fixer-upper, didn't it?
Right. It did at the end of it. If someone better go to Lowe's, get some screen doors.
some kills.
They're gathering there in an attempt to mend their broken family ties. Aubrey, played by Barbara Crampton, and Paul, played by Rob Moran, Davidson was the parents, decide to celebrate their wedding anniversary by inviting their four children and their children's significant others to their weekend estate. The celebration gets off to a rocky start, but when crossbow-wielding assailants in animal masks suddenly attack, the Davidsons must pull together or die. I'm going to leave it right there. That's a setup.
That's a setup.
We're talking about an estate of snooty people trying to make things right in the family, getting hijacked and what do you call it? Home invaded.
Home invasion.
Things go hilariously awry.
Yeah, they do. There's some comedy in this, isn't there? Yeah, sure. But let's take a break here. Listen to a piece, or actually a trailer. Set this one up here. Here's a trailer. Your Next 2011. We're going to come back, tell you what Dana thought. We're going to hear from him, and we're going to tell you what we thought. So here you go.
I just want you all to know how much it means to us that you're all here.
Thanks to Mom and Dad.
Beautiful.
Just a perfect day.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy food and help us to do our part with kind words and loving deeds.
Amen.
Amen.
It gets dark, we go home.
What is that?
Why would anybody do this? They've been watching us for days. This wasn't a random attack.
All right, so there you go. You're next. There's a trailer from it. You scared? Maybe. Let's talk a little bit about this film, though, as far as facts and figures. You know what I'm talking about, Max.
Trivia.
Trivia, damn it.
Yeah.
A veritable did you know.
A veritable did you know.
In synchronicity.
In synchronicity. Actually, maybe we should play something from the Synchronicity album. That's over there on vinyl. I see it. Did you know that Your Next was shot in 2011, Max, at a mansion in Columbia, Missouri? The filming process took place over 4 weeks. Mostly night shoots and filmed from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Why am I even telling you this?
I don't know.
I basically told you the film was shot from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
It's a really dark film.
It's a night film shot at night. Amazing.
It's pretty trivial.
Producer.
Yes.
How about this one? Did you know that Simon Barrett, the Tiger Mask killer, is also the movie's screenwriter?
Ooh. No.
You got to be kidding me.
The perks of being a screenwriter.
There you go.
You get to be in the movie.
Well, what about this one? Hoodie. Both Joe Swaberg and Ty West, who play eldest brothers Drake and Amy's underground director boyfriend Tariq with the ridiculous scarf, are two prominent mumblegore directors, a horror genre in which Your Next is also included. So it's an actual genre. I didn't make it up.
No. Somebody made it up. Yeah, it's not a genre.
They probably made it up.
You think they're sitting there like drinking like some frou-frou drink going, let's call it mumblegore.
Yes. That's exactly
and then they laughed, and they laughed, and then it was born.
We can make it a thing. Go viral.
Yeah, mumblegore. Yeah. Did you know that Sharni Vinson is a founding member of the Australian pop group Girl Band?
Come on.
Yeah, she's leaving this movie. She's a member of band.
Girl Band. They're great.
I want to hear some of that Girl Band.
You don't have any Girl Band albums?
No.
I got them all at home. I'll make you copies.
Oh. Yeah.
Girl Band.
Yeah, from Down Underground.
Yeah. I guess him a... We're a band and we're a bunch of girls. What should we call ourselves? Girl Band. Okay.
Brilliant.
Did you know that when Crispin cuts the piano wire around the 47-minute mark, the note that is heard from it is between D minor and E? Why did I even tell you?
It's D sharp.
Yeah, I did not know
that. Is that what it was? Did you know that the original opening, as scripted, featured an old man who finds his dog decapitated? But the producers requested that this be rewritten. You know, I watched this with my wife, Lisa.
Yeah.
You know what she said?
Needs more decapitated dogs?
No. She turned to me at the end of the movie and said, thank God no animals were killed. She won't watch a movie if there's an animal killed.
Yeah, those 13 people, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So she was probably very thrilled that was taken out.
Yeah.
Did you know that Sharni Vincent and Wendy Glenn were actually roommates and best friends before and after filming? Okay.
Oh, how sweet.
Ooh, here's one. Director Adam Weingart is from Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and is 6'4" tall, or 1.93 meters.
All right.
Way taller.
I'm glad
than
you gave us meters. I was just thinking.
Yeah, giant.
But what is that in meters?
I may start doing this where I actually tell you how tall the director is.
Yeah.
Because it's always in the. It's always in there. I can always find it. I don't know why.
People it's hysterical. Got to know.
Yeah. I'm going to start telling. The last thing is always going to be how tall the director was.
All right.
This guy's 6'4".
Right.
Let's talk about currency though, Max. Because you know, as you previously said, we don't use thumbs up.
It's flicked.
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 Why anybody would even start using that?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
And so why did we stop using Flicted?
I don't know.
I said that since middle school, but
me too.
It's great.
I'm going to look it up because I never heard it.
Yeah.
You never heard Flicted?
I don't think it's a real word.
Conflicted.
It is. Flicted's a word.
No, afflicted's a word. Conflicted's a word.
This is the slang term.
Flicted.
I like Flicted. It's Flicted. We don't want to do that.
All right, it's Flicted.
We're anti-Flicted here.
You don't want to do anything that's Flicted.
What we do is we let the film tell us how we're going to rate it. And this week, based on the film, You're Next, we're going to do 1 through 10. What?
How many guys in masks does it take?
Oh, wait.
White collar.
How many masked hoodlums does it take to hijack a white collar family?
There you go.
There it is.
How many hoodlums does it take to hijack a white collar family?
Right.
1 through 10. There we go.
There you go.
That's right.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to set the tone here, set the stage. Dana Buckler from the great How Is This Movie podcast. I'm telling you, people, you want to look into this. This is hot craft right here. Yeah. This is podcasting at its finest. Let's let him set it up. So here you go. Here's Dana Buckler. We're going to come back. He'll set the stage. We'll tell you what we thought after this right here.
Hello there. My name is Dana Buckler, and I'm the host of the How Is This Movie podcast. When the guys over at the Q Filmcast asked me to recommend something on Netflix, well, I jumped at the chance to share what I've been watching. Now, my pick for this episode is straying very much off course from the types of films that I tend to watch these days. Let me explain a little further. When I was a kid growing up in the 1980s, there was one genre of film that my friends and I would constantly seek out, and that genre was horror. Now, I think one of the main reasons why we were so desperate to consume all types of horror films is because when you're told as a child that things are off limits, well, inevitably your curiosity will get the best of you. And you're going to want to know why you're not allowed to watch these films. Well, see, my folks were very strict about what films my brother and I could watch. So we had to turn to the tried and true tested method for watching horror films. And that being one of our friends. We'll just call him Bob for this particular story. You see, Bob's parents didn't care what he watched, and thus didn't care what we watched. Now, thanks to Bob, my brother and I were able to watch all the Elm Street films, all the Friday the 13th films, and let's not forget those ridiculously gory Hellraiser films. I think it's safe to say that I may have come out of my childhood a little traumatized. Just listen to the How Is This Movie episode number 43 for a more detailed explanation. I say all of this because by the time I was in my 20s, horror, that genre, was out for me. I couldn't care less about the latest scary flick that was coming out whatever weekend. And I carried this stance against horror films all the way through my mid-30s. So that brings us to last year, 2014. I'm scrolling through the list of films on Netflix. And you know, it's one of those scrolls where you're just trying to find something to pass the time. A non-thinker, as I would put it. Now, as somebody who watches a ton of films on Netflix, finding something new was actually a very difficult task. So I decided to do something I don't normally do. I started browsing the horror titles, and I stopped on the film You're Next. Now, I remember thinking to myself, I've heard more than a few people mention this title before, but for the life of me, I couldn't remember if they had anything positive to say about the film. What the heck, I thought. I'll give it a try. The film You're Next opens in a very typical horror movie trope kind of way. You have a couple meeting their demise in a gruesome manner. And I'll be honest with you, I sort of rolled my eyes. Even though I found the opening scene was somewhat stylistic in the way it was shot. Now, I'm not one to give out spoilers, so let me just say this. After the opening scene, we're introduced to a wealthy and somewhat eccentric family. They're getting together for a family reunion. Now, this is where the film takes a seismic shift for me. All of a sudden, I forgot I was in a horror film, and I was sitting back and watching the often hilarious banter going on between the siblings and their guests. The dialogue is smart and very witty, with the tension building up between the siblings feeling very authentic. I was enjoying this film so much that when the first, well, I'll call it act of horror, is bestowed upon a family member, it caught me by surprise. And I had to instantly remind myself that this was a horror movie I was watching. The film You're Next really ratchets up the tension as the film goes on and brings it to a surprisingly good level, all the while not losing its dark humor tone that it set at the beginning of the film. And I will say this, that the person who turns out to be the protagonist in the film, and again, I'm keeping this spoiler free, is fantastic and has a wonderfully wicked resolution at the end of the film. So even if you're not a typical horror movie fan, like myself, I think you'll thoroughly enjoy the film You're Next. I'm going to give it a score of 8 out of 10 with a very, very strong recommendation. So my name is Dana Buckler, and thank you for letting me ramble for just a couple minutes, and let's get back to the guys over at the Q Filmcast.
All right, so there you go. Dana Buckler right there telling me he thought of the film he queued up for us tonight, You're Next 2011. He's going 8. Strong 8. And by the way, he mentioned that episode, too.
Yeah.
If you want to check out the How Is This Movie podcast, you might want to start with his Nightmare on Elm Street episode, the horror episode. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, actually. So it might go along with this episode right here. But yeah, let's get into what we thought. I'm going to go over to James Hart's Up Savage.
Yeah.
Dana gave this an 8. He gave it 8 masked hoodlums. Who would hijack a white collar family? How many? Right.
How many guys would I take?
Yeah, how many guys? How many guys? Right. Savage, you know.
I would choose 7 guys. 7 guys to take this family out. It was I don't gravitate to the slasher flicks because that's what this is at its core, is a slasher flick. But there's something fresh. There's something original. I don't know if that's the mumble gore, but I found it's to be there's something fresh about this, and so I'll give it 7. 7 guys.
Okay. Yeah. Not hating on it. All right, so we have 7 from you. Hoodie, let's go straight around the table. Savage is going 7 here. We got an 8, we got a 7. We're talking about You're Next. How many are you going to give this film?
I think I can do it with 1 guy. but I'm going to bring another guy.
All right.
2 guys.
Just because
the
gotta,
front and back door. Right?
You got to have a backup guy, you know? So 2 guys, I'm going to say.
Wow.
You got to have a spotter.
Yeah, well, just a guy to yell to.
Yeah.
I got him.
This one did.
Just stay in the car. I got this. This is pretty easy.
Well, someone to jam the signal. You got to jam the signal.
Yeah,
remember?
There you go. Right.
I got that.
Okay.
I got it.
But, you know, maybe 1 more for the song. Maybe the song that's continually
that's
on
the
repeat.
2.
Oh, that's the 2? Okay. No, I got you. You know, a lot of people like this film for some reason, but we'll find out what Max Gumbo Johnson thought.
I already know what you think.
Well, we can tell what you think.
8 guys.
All right, look at this.
You had fun with this.
Loved the movie the first time I saw it. Loved just as much now. Think it's a fantastic movie.
It's fun, that's for sure.
It's definitely fun.
Yeah. I think my 2 guys could take out all of Max's 8 guys.
I don't know.
Not with a nail through your foot.
Right.
My guys are pretty tough.
Right.
I'm not bringing no little dudes. I'm bringing guys that can handle their business.
Right. This is fun. Yeah, we got a big swing on this one. You're Next 2011. Adam, You're Next producer, and I'll round it out after you, but what are you going to give this film?
I'm definitely going 8.
Strong 8 on that, huh?
Strong 8.
I thought I'd be the high guy.
All right, so we do have some love. Hoodie.
Matt's the high guy for not giving it a better score.
I'm the what?
High. He thinks you're high.
Oh, like high.
Yeah, right, like, okay. like what you been smoking, man?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
All
right,
so it's up to me. I'm going to tell you, get my crap out of the way. You know what? I'm not going to hate on this film.
All right.
I don't think there's a whole lot to hate. I felt like I wanted to hate something, I'd just dial up a Madea movie or something. I didn't hate this. It's like an amusing little toy to me. You plug it in, you play with it, you get your kicks, you take it for what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
It's good for a Saturday night on the sofa with slightly burnt popcorn, I can tell you that.
Is that how that went down?
That's how it went down. Right. That's how Lisa and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I guess what I liked best about this was the revenge aspect of the plot, though. I'm going to go and give it a 6. Didn't hate it. I do like the revenge aspect. I always kind of get off on that, kind of a little bit like, okay, the flip the script thing. So once I zeroed in on that for the film, I liked it okay. I had fun with it. It's kind of like zombie movies. I just like that thing. So I had reason to engage it. I like the hero sort of films too, you know, where you have a real clear path to someone you can cheer for. And once it kind of got down on that path, we had fun with it. We had a lot of fun with this one. I did like the character of Aaron, you know. Dana said she really pulled the film along. She was cool. I mean, I could see her doing something else too. It made me kind of want to sit back and wait for her next role. So I liked the acting, and it was festive. Had some heat to it.
Listen to some girl band.
Listen to some girl band. I'm just not sure why this is regarded as something special, though. I couldn't quite zero in on that. I keep hearing that it's some sort of genre-defining movie, or as I heard many people say, one of the better films of the year. There's not anything in here that seemed remotely in that vein. It was just sort of there. Fun movie. I'm going to go 6. I don't think I can quite get to 7, but you know what? If you want this kind of film, it's there for you. You know, it's there for you.
Yeah, it's there for you.
You know, I thought it would be, I did think it was, from what I heard coming in, I thought it would be a bit smarter. under all the obvious fodder, kind of like the Drag Me to Hell or the Ruins,
right?
Something like that, where it kind of punched above its weight,
right?
But it really relies a lot on style. This movie's all about style, an awful lot.
Oh, definitely about style.
But it's just a toy to me. I know I don't gravitate to too many of these films, but it didn't insult me. The fact that it didn't insult me,
yeah, that goes a long way for a horror flick. Yeah.
All right, so yeah, there we go. There we go. And by the way, Lisa, was so happy no animals were killed during this film. That helps an awful lot.
How many guys does it take to take this house?
Yeah,
Max?
How many guys does it take?
31.
31?
You look slightly disappointed.
Well, plus Dana's 8, right?
Oh, yeah, we got an extra
one. If we had him, it's 39.
Right.
So
we do have him.
That's not disrespectful.
No, not at all.
No, that's not too bad.
Let's go back to Savage, though. You went up there with 7 on this one. And I thought about going 7, but I'm going to stick 6. Maybe I can get to 7.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I've seen this. The movie poster for this, and I was like, I'm totally not into this, and this is not, I don't like slasher flicks. It's just, they don't interest me at all, but, you know, we got to watch it. This is a job, so I was watching it. And automatically, when it opens with that sex scene, and the chick is disappointed, I was like, oh, it's a real sex scene because the chick is disappointed.
Right. That's how I do it.
well, you know, it's like, okay, there's that tongue-in-cheek automatically from the jump.
Yeah.
And so you kind of catch the vein that it's trying to be in, and it's real cleanly shot too. Like you said, it's about style, and
it's
the lighting is really well done, and it's really cleanly shot. And then you get into that alone in the house trope that horror films do, and it started to do that. But that title sequence is probably the best horror title sequence I've ever seen.
It is pretty good. It grabs you.
And because that's all it is. There's no directed by, there's no nothing. It's just that smear of blood on the window.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And then you kind of know what you're going into. And then, like Dana said, I think the family stuff gets so well developed that you kind of forget that you're watching a horror flick. I mean, I felt that way. It's like, it really played the dynamic between the brothers and the father.
Yeah.
I really felt that played. But then once you're into the horror flick, then the tropes just start coming because you realize, hey, we're in a slasher flick here, so there's things that you have to happen. You know, that people got to get murdered, and they got to get murdered in creative ways.
Has to be a big reveal, maybe two.
Yeah, there does. And then, you know, the superhero chick aspect. I mean, because basically that's what she was. She just turned into, like, a superhero chick.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I really like, the strong feminine. Mm-hmm.
The kick-ass chick.
Yeah, the kick-ass chick, for sure. But there are some cliche stuff and there's some trope stuff and you kind of know immediately, like when the brother shows up, it's like, oh, that's the dude, because you just know it's so obvious. They're not trying to mask anything. So in that way, it's simple, but I found the dynamic between the family believable and the action sustainable and fresh in its way.
Yeah, even when it got into the Home Alone stuff, I felt like I was watching Home Alone.
That's one of my notes,
Home Alone,
man.
The adult version.
It was like Home Alone.
Right after the throat punch, she starts Home Alone in the thing,
Yeah, I kept waiting for someone to burn his head with a torch. Hoodie.
Oh, yeah.
He had fun with it.
Yeah.
He wound it up. He let it go. He enjoyed where it kind of spun around the room for him. But what did you think? Obviously, you didn't like this film. But why? Why didn't you like this movie?
I gave it a point for production. But as far as story, it was awful. Acting was awful. And you're talking about, like, the banter and how well that played. I thought that was just awful. It was just so bad. It was so forced. Everything about this thing was just so forced. You ever see the movie Predator?
Yeah.
Okay, so you remember there were all those guys in the Predator?
Yeah.
And then he kills all the guys. And the best part of the movie is when Arnold Schwarzenegger takes on this thing by himself without any weapons, naked in the mud.
Yes.
That's how you do it.
That's how it's done.
Shut up and do it.
Yeah, if this movie was like her against like the main bad guy in the mask and he was smarter than all the other buffoons that were going after her and didn't die so easy.
Yeah, I picked up on that. I agree with you. I needed a clear-cut one-guy villain.
You know what I'm saying?
Mano-y-mano, mano-y-womano.
Yeah, somebody to focus on, somebody to say, oh, I don't like that guy. There was no reason. Yeah, okay, so they were in here killing everybody, but, for money, that's, who cares? Okay, that's
have
not interesting.
Have you not seen The Strangers?
No, I have not seen The Strangers.
Well, you got a group of people coming in.
Okay, same story.
Same story.
It's not. I think it's very
not,
different
but
than The Strangers.
Strangers is smart. You don't.
We're not
they
talking
don't
about Strangers.
Okay, but you're talking about you need a one single Bad villain.
I'm saying I needed somebody to focus on. I needed some kind of motive more than just money, I think, to make it more interesting to me. I had more fun trying to figure out how many different ways I could sit on my couch watching this thing. It was awful. It was so bad.
What about the horror aspect? See, that's
no horror. I wasn't scared. I wasn't tense. I was not into this at all.
Well, that's why I say when it's horror, when you say horror, I want to be horrified.
Yeah,
I didn't feel horrified. I had fun at times.
See, I didn't even think it was
a slasher flick.
And everybody's like, "Oh, it's just fun. You should just have fun with it. Yeah. It is what it is." But I didn't even think the kills were all that creative. I mean, well, name one creative kill in this thing.
The throat,
the garrote, yeah,
throat the cut axe to the face, like a croquet. Bah!
I thought the axe at the end. I thought that was pretty good.
And you never really saw it. That was kind of cool.
Okay, maybe I'm into that.
Yeah, the mystery.
Don't show me the monster. I'm that guy.
What about this guy? We're talking about Max Gumbo Johnson. You went up there 8. You're with Dana and Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Go.
Oddly enough. I disagree with what you said about the tropes. The tropes start popping up. This movie took the tropes and completely disemboweled them. You see these tropes coming like... I'll give you one example. She catches the first guy by the fireplace.
Right.
She starts beating him up. And she keeps beating him up until he's dead.
Yeah.
Most movies.
Would have stopped.
He would have stopped after he knocked him out. And then they walked away and the guy would have got up behind her. Oh, he's still alive. Okay. Yeah. No, you know, that's not what you do in real life.
I'll give you that because when that happened, I was like, hit him again. And she did.
She did.
I was like, hit him again. And she did.
That kind of stuff was all over this movie.
It was.
Everything was like that.
But just to be a bit of an advocate here, then you do go into the trope of, okay, she's in the closet and my God, the cell phone rings and they run in to find her. And there's a lot of that too, Max.
Well, there is, but they did that on purpose. That was the whole point of a lot of
that's
what happened.
That's what tropes
in this
movie are for.
If you do, instead of hiding, the first thing they do is like, let's open a door and let's run.
Yeah. Well, you know, Savage.
Okay.
Is,
okay.
I can't wait to hear some of your favorite scenes. Yeah, keep going, Max. Keep going.
I thought the dialogue was great. That fight that the two brothers had.
I did.
It was so forced. It was pathetic.
I loved it.
Where you're stabbing, he said, would you die already? This is really hard on me.
And
if I had to hear, like, no, I'm okay. Like, it's a drinking game at this point. Like, no, I'll be okay. Like, no, it's okay. I'll be okay. I'm okay.
I love that part when his brothers got stabbed in the, in the back.
With the arrow.
And he's like, I'll go. I was always a faster runer than you. He's like, shut up.
You're fat.
I love that kind of stuff.
I think it could have played a lot better.
Yeah. I thought it played great. I loved it. I loved every minute of it.
I found myself chuckling more than anything in this film. For
it's
reasons
a funny
like
movie.
That. It is kind of funny. I wasn't horrified. It's not a horror film. I can't call this a horror film.
Make something scary. It's tough.
It is tough.
Yeah.
It's real hard.
That doesn't make it a game. You do it better. Oh, the guy who's never done it before. Okay.
My point is, I wasn't scared. Well, how many horror movies have you seen that are actually scared?
Like 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Predator was one of them. Yeah. I was terrified.
Commando.
Terrified.
Let's go over to the producer right now. Adam, you end this thing out. Let's talk about why you went 8 on this. I do believe in 8, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, 8, we're talking about hoodlums taking over a white-collar family. Tell me why.
Great story. I like the setup. I like the fact that instead of the woman being the last one to be, you know, chased down and killed and run away, she immediately fights back.
Yeah.
I thought that was smart. It was brilliant. I love the fact that they showed the bad guys having conversations and plotting what they need to do and showing emotion, you know, when his brother gets killed and things like that. I thought it was great. And I love the gore.
Because you're kind of a horror film kind of guy.
Aficionado.
So I'm going to take what you say to heart.
But it didn't bother anybody. They had no peripheral vision in this.
Exactly, man. I thought about that during the whole thing. It's like, what a terrible choice of masks.
Let me tell you what I thought. The thing I liked was the lead protagonist. I liked the flip the script. Yeah. I liked having a clear path of someone to root for. But like Hoodie, I wanted to have someone to root against as well.
Yeah.
So it was like half and half there.
Yeah. You need a monster.
And then the Home Alone stuff was fun.
Yeah.
I didn't really root for.
Well, you got to root. I didn't root.
And then, of course, the family stuff. There are a couple pretty interesting
scenes. I really think that if they, and Dana said that he liked it, everybody here liked it. I'm in the minority very much so. But I think if they had better dialogue, number one, but if it had gone on a lot longer, and you had more developed characters and you gave a crap about some of these guys, that it would be more effective as a movie. Then you start killing them. You get me to like you, and then you kill them all.
That's how you do it.
Well, that's how you do it.
Yeah. And there's a lot of scenes to talk about, too. We're going to talk about some of these kills. We're going to talk about some of these conversations at the dinner table.
Sure.
To touch on the family a bit, because obviously it's a home invasion horror. But there's a big aspect of this film, and that is the five siblings coming together.
Right.
To reacquaint themselves. And you can kind of, I liked how you can sense some of the bitterness and some of the strife between them.
Right.
And
That's four of them.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The family's together. Right. And the dinner table scene I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked how you had the main, or the one brother, Drake, he's messing with his sister's boyfriend, Tariq. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And he's like...
The oldest brother, the big brother.
Yeah, he's messing with like, oh, so you're an independent filmmaker. You're an underground filmmaker. So you make your movies actually underground, like in the dirt?
He's just being a douchebag.
Just being such a douchebag. And Tariq doesn't know he's being a douchebag. No, I make special films. He's messing with him like that. And then the strife starts between the other brothers. And just right when that heats up, boom, in comes the arrow through the window.
Yeah.
So they go from at each other's throats to having to rely on each other pinned down. That was kind of the high point of the film. I thought that was a nice setup. That was my favorite part, some of the interminglings between the siblings.
Yeah.
But what do you think, Hoodie?
I thought that was one-dimensional.
It was.
That's it.
His one guy, one-dimensional. Yeah.
No, the whole thing I thought was one-dimensional. I don't know. Yeah. I just didn't care about anybody. Go, James.
Yeah, I like that scene, but I saw it as a different way. I saw as soon as the table was set, they were around the 10, it was like 10 little Indians. Let's start knocking them off. But I'll take issue with Hoodie. I thought the conflict between the brothers was believable, especially when they started fighting at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And the dad was trying to get in between them. They're like, no, we're doing this right now. So it takes you as a surprise. It takes you as a surprise when Tariq finally gets the arrow, because the dynamic of the family was really getting built up at that point.
Yeah.
But then you realize you're brought right back into the reality. Oh, this is a horror film. This is a slasher film.
You know?
And of all of the awesome things, I have to take issue with this. As smart as this chick was, she didn't take the machete out of the mom. Just like, why wouldn't you do that? You're carrying around a meat tenderizer. You're so smart.
It worked once.
Now, let's be clear. There's a lot of dumb stuff in this movie, and you better be okay with that to enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like the her running out, and the wire is exactly throat
her,
length.
Her throat length. And I did like that. That was clever.
People taller and shorter than that.
That was a pretty bloody scene, too.
It was. And then they drug her back in and, you know, all that weirdness. But I don't think it was overtly funny. I don't think it was like, hey, now we're slapsticky over here. There was none of that.
No, it wasn't.
You know?
It wasn't that. But there was a dark comedy element throughout the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm.
That missed.
It missed a lot. Yeah, it did.
Thank you. Wow. Didn't see that happening.
To me, it did. But it didn't ruin the framework of, I'm going to root for this girl. There's some good style here. The popcorn was burnt, but the no animals were killed.
If it's burnt next time, just put some sriracha sauce.
There you go. It works every time.
But I didn't once. I mean, not one person in this movie died that I said, oh man, I like that guy.
Things did happen kind of quick, and I remember thinking when Tariq gets the first arrow, first guy with the arrow. I remember distinctly saying that seemed like that happened a little too quick.
That's what I'm saying. And you don't have to do it at the dinner table. You can have that happen in its own time and disrupt it. I mean, you can even like have them. Before, you know, they all get together and talking about any issue they have. I mean, there's a number of different ways to do this, but they just didn't do it. They decided to do it one-dimensionally at the dinner table with, like, a little, you know, spat, and that doesn't sell for me at all.
But it also presented the opportunity for her to show how smart she was to get him out of that.
We just called her dumb.
With the chair and all of that. You know, it's like, get the chair as a shield, and, you know, so it establishes
her. That's still dumb, because all they had to do was crawl.
Exactly.
You don't have to have a chair. Just get on your belly and crawl.
Right. Under the window.
And, you know, I picked up on a lot of things that didn't make sense as far as the emotional things. I'll get back onto what I liked about this film, but one thing I didn't like as well was, for example, the sister dies. She pretty much gets decapitated.
Right.
Are you really going to 5 minutes later go up and go, hey, what's wrong, when the other person's crying in the hallway? You're going to be running around.
I'm okay.
Flapping, screaming, flapping your arms. The emotional content did not fit a lot of times.
No,
agreed.
And it took me,
They shoehorned in some of the stuff. You know, it's like, where'd dad go? Really?
Yeah. Like a story. Yeah.
Okay, most people who go see horror movies like this aren't going for the emotional aspect. They're going for the
slasher.
The
but everybody that goes to see a movie wants a story.
And give us a basic plot, but give us the gore.
But they didn't even deliver on the gore.
And this is not
Max, jump in. Get in there. What you got?
Go.
You're saying most people that go to... So in other words, you're calling people that like horror movies people with no taste, which I disagree with. I like horror movies. I want a good story. I want good characters. I want all that stuff, too. And just because it's a horror movie does not necessarily mean it's a gory movie.
Slasher.
This is not a slasher film.
It's a home invasion.
It's a home invasion film, first off. But I liked, here's why I like this as a home invasion film. Most home invasion films, you see, you never get any explanation why they're doing it. They just do it. And this one you get, like, okay, oh, that's what's going on. These
like in the movie The Stranglers, it really ends.
Strangers.
Strangers.
It actually ends with, why are you doing this? The guy says, because you were home.
Because
so at least
home.
You get more of that here. Yeah. You get more story here.
You get a reason for it. There's something to build, there's a framework here of what's going on. And I didn't see it coming.
But, these guys come in, and they all look the same, too. They were just kind of off the rack, crew cut, mask on the thing, mask on the face. And they did kind of come and go a little too easily. They seemed a little too stupid. I mean, come on. You're going to put down
peripheral vision. They were stupid.
Yeah, but you're going to put down a spike strip outside the window, and the guy's going to get his foot through it.
Yeah. You ever stepped on a nail like that?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it'll drop you.
You can't look for it? I mean.
No, you don't expect it.
Oh, because
there's no peripheral vision.
Yeah.
Well, and they did, because she put one right under the window, and then she put another one like 2 feet out.
Because she's
looked.
Smart.
He went and looked, and he saw the board there, and he goes, oh, I'll just step right here.
Right.
And boom, stepped right on it. Which is
plausible smart.
As far as I'm concerned.
Pretty smart.
What did you guys think of Erin as the main protagonist?
I liked her.
Some of her scenes, like, for example, when she goes over to the neighbor's house to check on the neighbor. The mother sent her over there.
For sure.
The big bonding moment.
For sure.
Because everybody's treating this girl like crap. She's the outsider. They're pretentious snobs.
Yeah.
She's the down and to the earth. Down, what I'm saying.
They down to
the blue collar.
The blue collar. Feet on the ground kind of. So the mother sends her across the street to get milk, and she goes there and knocks on the door, and you can hear that repetitive music.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that the neighbors are dead inside.
Right.
And, they're trying to play that into the fact that she's the outsider and all that. What about Erin's hobbled leg getaway? I felt that was a little too obvious, too. Of course, she's going to get a piece of glass through the leg.
Yeah.
And then hobble through the. How many times have we seen someone hobble through
the
woods?
That was a big piece of glass.
It was a big piece of glass.
Yeah, but that's the point. So, we're going to put a scene in here where she hobbles through the woods.
Right.
And then they've totally turned that on its head. She pulls the glass out, and she still gets away. I mean, most of the time, it's I sprained my ankle because I stepped in a hole that's one centimeter deep.
Right.
That's usually what happens.
Right.
That's not what happened here. Yeah. I mean, they tried to do something a little different, maybe somewhat original, and give some plausibility to some of the stuff that you see in movies. In horror movies like this every day.
Well, some of it. I mean, there was some of that the plausibility kind of thing where you make her less than superhuman and you make her smart, like going to the meat tenderizer thing where I said, hit him again. And she did. You're like, that's what a real person would do. But then there are those things that a real person wouldn't do or you can't do, like the blender.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, but that wouldn't work.
Right. It was fun to see. And if you want to put all seriousness aside.
Exactly.
And there's your comedy right there. That's all seriousness aside.
Exactly.
Stick a blender on someone's, and let's get to the end. Let's get to the end of this thing because I'm sold on the double reveal.
Right.
I didn't see that coming.
I did.
I didn't see Crispin coming in there and being what they revealed him to be.
Yeah.
Saw the first brother, but I liked that. I thought that was pretty slick writing, and I liked his desperate attempt. After she's been put through hell because of him, she's had to kill his whole family, and he's still trying to sell the idea that we're going to run away together. Well, okay, I didn't plan on you killing everybody, but that's okay.
Right. It actually works better.
I'm going to give you his money. Now we can run away, and you quit your job. And just to see that desperation, he was selling it. And for a minute there, I thought, okay, is she going to buy it? I mean, because he was selling it hard.
Yeah.
And then the ending, I really did like the ending.
Yeah.
So.
I did too. Yeah. How about you?
Nope.
Yeah. The axe in the door and the cop. Yeah.
And then the credits rolling. Yeah. That was my favorite part. Yeah.
But then again, if someone's holding the house hostage and they don't have a gun, I'm running like hell. I ain't setting booby traps.
You never know.
These are rich folk. Why didn't they have a panic room?
Good point.
It was a fixer-upper.
That movie's already been made.
It was a fixer-upper. We made that established. Right. I'm so glad I don't have a big, rich, white family. These people are sick. Look at the way they treat each other, Max.
You should see them on Christmas morning.
Oh,
I thought this was bad.
I don't know. I had fun with it. It's certainly not... Listen, anytime someone takes a blender to the head, it's not a serious movie. I'm sorry.
Right.
I can't take it seriously, but I can't have fun.
That was a good kill.
What was the best kill in this movie? That
the blender to the head.
It was pretty
my
good.
My favorite definitely was the, play croquet with the axe.
Yeah.
You like that? Oh, that's right. Oh, that was pretty nasty.
That's pretty
rough. I liked the one brother killing the other brother with all the screwdrivers. Who's going to stand there and let someone stab him with 50 screwdrivers?
He was on Vicodin. He probably didn't feel
high.
It. Yeah.
They go down in the basement.
Or
and
chopper.
Is that the first time you figure out that, what was his name? Felix was evil?
No, I knew him when I saw him.
Oh, wait,
he came
no.
With Z, and I'm like, Those are the killers.
That was pretty brutal, though, when the father died. Yeah. And then, of course, well, we've seen this a million times, too.
Yeah.
You think the son's going to come in there screaming, and he comes in there calmly, and you realize, oh, he's in on it.
Yeah.
Why That's
when
you
realize. Did you have to do that in front of me?
Did you have to do that in front of me, man? This is hard enough as it is.
I like that. I thought that was funny.
I think I just missed a comedy. I didn't. There. Number one, I didn't think it was funny. Yeah. Number two, I didn't realize that they were shooting for funny. I just thought it was just straight bad.
Oh.
You know what just they... Oh,
bad.
Well, now, watch it now. You'll love it.
I thought the cover was good.
That's a great cover.
Like
it's
a great cover. Poster. Yeah. Love that. Yeah.
But let's end this.
All
let's
right.
end this right here, because we're going to get into our top three.
Right.
Thank you, Dana Buckler.
Yes, sir.
The great How Is This Movie podcast. Find it. Listen to it. It's Red Hot Craft, man. That's yeah, it. I give stuff. That a 10. I give that a 10 bucklers.
A 10 bucklers.
So why don't we listen to one last piece of the film right here. You're next. Come back. Get into our top three kick-ass chicks. Here you go.
So, Tyreek, what do you do?
I'm a filmmaker.
Is that right?
Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah, he's really good.
I don't think I know any filmmakers. That is
exotic.
So
there's not a lot of us out there.
Interesting.
Well, I've only made TV? I've not on TV. I've only made one documentary. It was at the Cleveland Underground Film Festival, 2008.
What is an underground film festival? Do they show them movies underground?
No. They show them above ground, but
it's really intellectual. They show intellectual
films. Like an intellectual film festival. Yeah. I just think, do you do commercials? Because those are my favorite.
No.
Mm-mm, no.
No, he doesn't do commercials. Mm,
really? I just think that is just the height of the art form these days. It is just short and punchy. You really got to just zing the ideas on in there.
That's why I watch TV these days.
That's why I watch. I mean, it's better than the shows now.
Well, he makes documentaries, so...
It's different.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that I've seen documentary commercials. I don't think they have to be limited to any particular thing. It's not a, you know, I mean, the starving artist thing just never made sense to me. Yeah. I just think you should consider it, Tyree.
Okay, so there you go. Final clip for you there. Your next 2011, the film we talked about right here, leads us to our top three kick-ass chicks. Let's talk about kick-ass chicks. Let's let Dana Buckler, awesome Dana Buckler, tell us what his number three is. Since he queued up the film and all.
Sure.
And all Dana Buckler says... Billie Jean, Helen Slater, I believe, played. The Legend of Billie Jean.
Never saw
She's
that.
Everywhere. Did she kick ass?
Yeah, but that was the greatest line in the whole movie.
I've never
Where's
seen
Billie
movie?
Jean? She's everywhere.
You say that with such conviction.
Okay, well, you got to just pull up the trailer.
I've never
stop
seen
right
it.
Now pull it up. She's everywhere.
But she kicks ass. Dana thinks she kicks ass enough to be on his list.
She's not just Billie Jean. It's the Legend of Billie Jean. Well, how about you don't become a legend by not kicking ass, buddy.
How about the Legend of Max Gumbo Johnson and giving me your number three kick-ass chick? What is it?
My number three. I stayed away from the big three.
Not me.
I figured somebody's going to name those, so I stayed away from them. My number three is Thana from Miss 45.
Hey,
she took it out.
There goes his list.
Sorry, buddy. You should have gone first if you wanted.
Listen, let's just tighten it up right now. I'm going to double down. We're going to do number threes together.
Man. Okay.
You guys are going to say them at the same time next time?
Dang.
In synchronicity?
In synchronicity?
Let's say in synchronicity right now. What's the woman's name?
Thana.
Thana from Miss 45.
That was horrible.
MS 45. Yeah, MS 45. That's what you thought it was when we went to see it.
I went and seen it. Yeah. I went and seen this with Max Gumbo Johnson. Right. And the girl's raped twice in one day. Hey, who gets raped twice in one day?
Thana?
You ever seen I Spit on Your Grave?
No. Yeah. That was like hour on the hour, wasn't it?
Bring it back.
All right, Max. Number three, I'm going to double down on that with you. We're talking about Thana from MS 45. Miss 45.
Right.
Producer, number three Kennedy. For you, what is it?
I just gave mine away. I Spit on Your Grave Chick.
Is that her name?
We know who you're talking about.
She's got a name. It's Jennifer. Please not belittle her anymore than she already has been.
She took out her own revenge in some nice, nice ways.
What's the best way?
Oh, no.
I cannot say it on radio. Lured a guy into the bathtub.
It's in a bathtub.
In a bathtub.
She spits on something.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, she takes something off in the bathtub.
And not her clothing.
He loses.
Yeah, we get it.
Okay.
A member of his family.
Yeah.
Got it.
Lorena Bobbitt style. Okay.
Got it.
Yep.
Matthew St. Hoodie, you know the routine. You know the movie. We're talking about your next. We're talking about top three kick-ass chicks. What is it?
I'm going to say Michelle Rodriguez in just about anything, honestly, but I'm going to single out Girl Fight.
Girl Fight.
Can't
never seen
get
it.
Over that movie.
Yeah. It's good.
Oh yeah, it's a good movie.
Is this an old film?
Yeah. It's not.
Soundtrack by Girl
it's not
Band.
That old? How old is that?
I don't know how old. I have no idea when that came out.
Me neither.
I don't remember it coming
sure
out.
Sure wish I had a producer to get on that.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Not bad. I'll have to check it out one time. Savage, number three.
Yeah, you know me. Oh. I've got a theme. I've got a thing, a subgenre of this. Number three, the lovely, lovely Mila Jovovich in Ultraviolet.
I haven't seen it, but I know what you're talking about.
Mila.
It's awful.
But did she kick ass?
Did Equilibrium.
Oh, yeah.
So hot.
Oh, yeah.
So hot.
That's hot-ass chicks.
Are you doing Mila and everything?
I am.
I bet you.
Okay. Mila, like
I
it.
I made that list and threw it away.
Okay, Dana Buckler, number two is here. You know what Dana says his number two kick-ass chick is? Hmm. Nancy Thompson from Elm Street 1 and 2.
There you go.
I like the tie-in.
That is a tie-in.
She was a tired kicking-ass chick. She wasn't just sleepy.
Yeah, made him run down the street.
Good
she was
answer.
In 3 and 7.
Wait, he put
Dream
1 and 3.
Okay, 1, 3, and 7.
He didn't put 7. He didn't like it. She didn't kick
New
ass
nightmare.
In that one for him.
New Nightmare?
Yeah. Elm Street 1-3. You would know.
1-3. Dream Warriors.
Max, 3D. Max, what's your number two?
Last one too.
What's your number two, Max?
Hannah from Hannah.
Yeah.
Oh, good call.
You got to be kidding me.
Come
say
on.
It together. Say
you
got to
be kidding me.
Come on.
Are you guys going to say this?
Yeah. Is that in synchronicity. Thing? Hannah.
I'm not doing it twice. I got a backup. I got a couple backups. That's amazing. Your number one better not be what mine is.
I don't know what yours is.
I got some spares. Right. My number two, you know, I think I'm going to go with Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio from The Abyss.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
She kicked ass in that sub or whatever the hell it was. I mean, she was like a team player, hardcore.
Right. She took one for the team.
Right.
Wow, you pulled out The Abyss. How funny.
I just thought she was like a hardcore cast iron.
She was.
She even called herself, I'm a cast iron bitch.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that in a while.
It holds up.
So you say.
What was your answer again?
Hannah.
Hannah, that was my number two as well. I forgot for a second. I don't need your Hannah. I got Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio.
Fine.
And I have the producer as well.
Hannah,
number two for you,
ass.
Sir. What is it?
Speaking of kick-ass, Hit Girl.
Yes, sir.
Good job.
Don't know what that is.
What?
Hit Girl?
What?
Was she the butt sword girl?
No. That's probably his number one.
It should be. I mean, if that's, you know, his...
You've given away your fetish, Michael.
Oh.
You know
Hit Girl.
Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
I remember now.
What's it about?
I can't remember. I fell asleep.
That's because you didn't watch it.
No,
you
I watched it.
Liar.
I'll tell you this much.
You would remember Hit Girl.
Put it this way. I know enough to where I spent money on it and fell asleep and ended up paying for a movie I didn't watch.
That's a bummer.
I was tired. I'm not going to blame the film. I was tired.
I was tired.
We've all been there, haven't we?
I was tired.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't
tired.
Enjoy
yeah.
Nicolas Cage, Big Daddy?
Yeah. Crazy.
I may get around
Nicolas
to that.
Cage.
It was awesome.
Matthew St. Hoodie is extremely awesome. He's going to tell me his number two.
I can't remember her name. Some Swedish girl with a dragon tattoo.
Good answer.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Elizabeth Salander.
Elizabeth Salander.
All right. She kicked ass.
Yes.
Not
literally.
Prometheus.
She kicked and there was something in there.
I would not want to cross paths with her. Ever.
Yeah, she was tough.
What about the remake of with Mara Rooney?
Yeah.
I liked it.
I did too.
I did too, yeah.
We all agreed.
Fincher. Yeah. It's a Fincher film.
Yeah. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good stuff.
What's your number? Wait,
yeah.
What's the number one?
Number two. Number two.
Oh, number two for you, Savage.
Yeah,
you
I have a theme. And it's Mila Jovovich and anything Resident Evil.
Does she wear a lot of black leather
Can I pick
pants?
All six of them and
you
not watch them?
You can try.
I don't know. I have succeeded. I have not seen any of those terrible movies.
Wow.
How do you know they're terrible?
I saw some of one of them. It was awful.
Let's get on with number ones here. Dana Buckler, what do you think? And this is the quintessential number one.
Sure.
He says, bring it on, Ellen Ripley, Aliens.
Absolutely.
Alien or Aliens? Both, probably.
That's the archetype.
Either one.
Yeah.
She kicks some ass.
That's mine, too. So,
just
I guess
so you
can say the Marine in Aliens.
The what?
The Marine.
Oh, the Marine.
What's her name?
You ever get mistaken for a man? I don't know. Do you?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Vasquez. Vasquez.
If you're going into an alien fight, you want her with you.
Yeah. Oh, and that big gun.
Oh, yeah. Right. Scrappy little girl.
I just need the attitude.
She brought the tune. Yeah. She brought the tune. What's your number one?
Right.
Max Gumbel Johnson talking about your next.
Let's say it in synchronicity.
Kick-ass. Because I stayed away from those big three, so I had to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I'm picking Trinity from The Matrix.
Yeah, of course.
She's not a big three?
No, she's not one of my big three.
Oh. I didn't
Ellen
pick
Ripley
her.
Is one of my big three.
Yeah, but you have to say it. So.
It's got
to
be in somebody's list.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what the other big three
But
are.
I thought Trinity really would be a big three.
No, she's not my big three. She wasn't my big three.
Go figure. Interesting.
Sorry.
What are your big three? Let's try that. After the.
Yeah, we're going to
after your ones.
Honorable mentions. Producer, didn't you give your number one yet, did you?
You're next.
Your.
Oh, next. I'm next. Oh, that's right. Oh, hell, I'm going with Carrie.
Wait, so you're next here. Are you saying the girl in your next?
No.
Aaron?
There's point in me saying me.
Right.
I'm going to go a little off the cuff. I'm going to say Carrie. I thought at the end, she kicked some ass, and you're like, I'm taking no more.
All right.
Throw pig blood on me.
All right.
I'll burn your school down.
I'm not going to take it.
I'm going to mass murder people. Sure.
Yeah. I thought she kicked ass. Maybe not for the right reasons, but she did.
That's right. My good reason. One.
That's a kind of a...
They're all going to laugh at you.
She had enough.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Her crazy mom.
Right?
You sound more like Mickey Mouse.
They're all going to laugh at you. Sorry, I'll
it does
stop.
Sound like Mickey Mouse.
Well, join my club, Savage. What's number one? Number one club, what you got?
Oh, yeah, Mila Jovovich.
Of course. Any particular
Fifth Element.
Film?
Lilu, the Fifth Element.
Boy, she makes some bad movies.
No, she doesn't. The Fifth Element is an awesome movie.
No.
Yes. Not. Yes, it is.
Producer, number one, kick-ass chick, what you got?
First of all, honorable mention to Machine Girl, Japanese movie. None of y'all have seen it.
It's awful.
But Mystique.
I have seen it.
Yeah, Mystique.
Oh, good call.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I can go with that.
He's brought Machine Girl up in the past before.
Yeah. No, but brought up RoboGeisha.
No, you brought up Machine Girl.
Yeah, you made me watch it.
Was it? What was better, that or Meatball Machine?
Oh, Machine Girl.
All right, so we've done our number ones?
You know what we need to do? Get into our top three shout-outs because we put this out on Twitter, Facebook, social media,
sure.
Max.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm talking about. We do it all the time.
What'd they say?
Craigers McSour at Bosco House. Says Allison Pill is Kim Pine in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, yeah.
Never saw it.
Mike Kuhn at DIF Movies says Hot Girl from Kick-Ass.
Hit Girl.
Hit Girl.
Hit Girl.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the same thing.
You're thinking of the porn version.
I'm sorry. Hit Girl, yeah. He also says The Bride from Kill Bill. Obviously, I thought that was...
Right, that's a big three.
That's a top three. Okay.
Yeah. I left it off. And, of course, maybe another top three here that we kind of put in the pantheon. Sarah Connor.
That's the other.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Blokebusters podcast. Another good podcast, by the way. Really good accents. They bookend the whole show. I like their accents in that podcast. He says, let's see, we got River and Serenity. Lilu Dallas and Multipass.
Yeah. Yeah. Multipass, Lilu Dallas.
River, though.
River.
He says,
and she kicked ass in Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah,
she did.
He says, don't forget Tank Girl.
No, Tank Girl kicked
Tank
ass.
Tank Girl?
Yeah.
How funny.
You remember that movie?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Love that
Mutant
soundtrack.
Kangaroos and stuff.
Dexter Howard at D How I E Do It. Oh, Howie. Dexter. Sorry. Dexter Howard at D How E Do It. How I E Do It. Yeah, Michelle Rodriguez and everything.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's
everything.
What I said. Yeah. And I said it before him.
Nobody's
How that. I.E. do it.
Nobody's saying Leia? Where's that at?
Princess Leia?
Yeah.
She didn't kick. Well, she did.
Yeah, she did.
A little bit.
She killed Jabba. She killed Jabba the Hutt with her bare hands and a chain.
While wearing a skimpy outfit.
Right?
With his tongue hanging out.
Numerous stormtroopers.
But you could throw a rock and help kill a stormtrooper. Right. What was that armor for, anyway?
Do you have any honorable mentions, Max Gumbo Johnson?
Selena from Underworld, not on my list.
All right.
Nikita from La Femme Nikita. Yep. Black Widow from any of the Marvel movies.
Right.
And Foxy Brown.
Foxy Brown.
Foxy
oh,
Brown
yeah.
From Foxy Brown.
Yeah.
Dang, I forgot Cleopatra Jones, too. And Cleopatra Jones.
Right.
All those chicks from Death Proof.
Oh, the Death Proof people.
Oh, yeah. Those chicks.
Oh, how about Sin City?
Dummy and Mike.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Oh yeah. Girl. Old Town.
What's Little Mijo.
You said that so creepy.
Yeah.
I want to take one more time to thank Dana Buckler.
All right.
Much appreciated. Thanks for playing along. No, listen, you know, part of the podcast family.
Yeah.
Review family, you know.
Yeah.
We started out as a podcast. Obviously, now we're on the radio, several stations.
Yeah.
But we never forget our roots, man. That's quality podcast,
yeah,
and that's
really
what
is.
That is. How is this movie on Twitter? How is this movie podcast? Find it online. You'll find it.
Oh, I just thought of one more. Pris from Blade Runner.
Ooh,
yep.
Look at that. So there you go. Your Next 2011 brings us to our big reveal. And brought to you this week by the letter H. Hoodie. Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of high-quality outerwear. Talk to me, Hoodie. What you got for us?
I'm going to look at beginners.
Not the beginners. Let's make this clear.
Right.
Oh,
Let's
yeah. Sorry,
make
guys.
Make it clear.
No, not the beginners. Just one word, beginners.
Sure.
Are you talking about the 2010 film starring
Ewan McGregor?
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
And Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer. Yeah, oh, yeah.
That dude. Love
a guy.
Won Academy Award for this.
I did not know that. Yeah. I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Became the oldest guy to ever win a Best Supporting Actor Academy
Award. Sounds like something that might be in a Did You Know.
Did you know from last week? So that's what's coming up. You have beginners. This is not a home invasion film.
Right.
That should be fun. Yeah, let's go back down the old pretentious indie film. Let's do that next week.
That's how I do.
Right.
That's how we roll it.
It's not kind of the film I gravitate towards.
But you liked it.
Yeah, there you go. Beginners next week. This is the one I've actually had people tell me about. I've actually heard about it before. I remember when they won the Academy Award. I remember that speech. But anyways, that's next week. So. Beginners, and that's where this one ends. But as always, thank you for tuning into The Queue. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on the film we just discussed, we don't care anything for that matter. We don't mind. You go to thequeuefilmcast.net. Always go there. It's your catch-all. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, whatever you want. Just go there. Next week, it's Beginners. Not The Beginners, just Beginners.
Right.
Yes. Selected right. By, right, by Matthew St. Hoodie. We're going to cue it. We're going to review it. Until then, however it is you say goodnight.
Who can it be knocking at my door? Go away. Don't come down here no more. Can't you see that it's late at night? I'm very tired. And I'm not feeling right. All I wish is to be alone. Stay away.